Good morning. For our scripture reading this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, and Pastor Craig will be continuing his study through this chapter, looking at some of the great men and women of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a time that we can come again and spend in your word. Thank you for the music this morning as we had time to worship you with song. And Lord, now may our hearts worship you as we spend time reading these ancient words, but yet so important still today and relevant today. So we thank you for that and bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Bob. Good to have you back. It's been a while. Of course, we got some snowbirds wandering in, too. So great to have. There they are right there coming back. One other prayer request that I didn't mention, just kind of keep it in your mind. Andy, Jeff and Roberta's son, is going to be moving back to Mesquite for a while. Just pray for them in that move and their traveling as well. But back in Hebrews this morning, last week we looked at Abraham's faith and how one's faith can actually leave a legacy for our children. Well, this week we see that Abraham's faith did. It did leave a legacy. In fact, each example of faith that we're going to look at this morning is not only a descendant of Abraham, but each of these are actually looking into the future, even beyond their own death, and for a faithful future for their children and their descendants. So anyway, that's what we're going to look at this morning. While one cannot pass his faith on to another, for instance, because I have trusted in Christ doesn't mean that my children are automatically Christians, saved from the penalty of their sin. I cannot pass my faith on to them. But by exemplifying certain qualities of faith, as they do trust Christ for salvation, our kids, they can look to me as an example of faith that will actually energize their faith, okay? And that's really what my focus is going to be on in these four verses this morning. Years ago, I went to Seven Peaks Water Park, which is a water park, lots of slides, lots of pools. It's up in Provo, Utah. And there are numerous water slides there that range from slow and lazy to insane. Well, I decided to try insane. And as I walked up the stairs to the top of the slide, I watched others coming down the slide, zipping down the slide, one after another, and I made a couple observations. First of all, they were all moving very, very fast. And they made a big and sometimes painful-looking landing at the end of the slide, And I call it a landing because there were points on that slide where they literally did go airborne. Okay, that's how fast this slide was. Well, secondly, I noticed that they all came down in a certain position, okay? All of them came down feet first with their arms crossed over their chest. And then thirdly, I noticed that all kinds of people were doing it, okay? There were big people, there were small people, there were girl people, there were boy people. Well, as I got to the top, and it was my turn, the guy at the top instructed me on precisely how to go down. He said, if you want to keep your arms, keep them folded across your chest. And then he said something about keeping my legs together too. But anyway, it just, all of what he said, kind of worried me. It scared me, and I hesitated. I hesitated at the top of that slide. In fact, I hesitated long enough that he pulled me aside and let the next person behind me go, which happened to be about an 8-year-old little girl who literally launched herself off that slide, assumed the position, and down she went. Now, I could see the beginning of the slide. What was right there in front of me, I could see it. I could see the end of the slide. But what lied between here and there, I could not see. And there was some faith involved, wasn't there? There's some faith involved in that. But it was her, that little girl's confidence and her courage that made me think, there's no way I'm getting showed up by an 8-year-old little girl. And I went. And I went. In fact, I thoroughly enjoyed it and ended up going several more times that day. While we cannot pass our faith on to another, she did not give me her faith. I had to have my own faith to go down the slide. But there is no question that her courage and her confidence energized me to do it as well. Well, in our passage, we're going to look at four examples that looked beyond even their own death, okay, to energize a faithful future for those that were watching and listening to them. We're given these four qualities of faith not only to mature our faith, okay? And that is definitely a benefit that we can get from reading these verses today. But my focus here is so that we can energize a faithful future in those that are watching us. Others can look at us and say, wow, they trust God. They trust God. And we're going to look at four qualities. Our subject this morning is Faith Exemplified, Part 4. And in this passage, we're actually given faith's legacy. Abraham left a legacy of faith, and these that we're looking at this morning are that legacy. Before we look at the first one, I want to give you one more important thing that I think we all need to understand about leaving a faithful legacy. And I have to emphasize that practicing the qualities that we're going to look at this morning, practicing these qualities will not guarantee a faithful future for those that are watching us. Okay? People still do their own thing. But if they don't have us to look to as an example, they won't know what to follow, right? So we're going to look at these four qualities and know that these can energize the faith of those who watch us. The first quality is confidence. The first quality is confidence. Have you ever noticed that confidence can be contagious? Confidence can be contagious. It can energize confidence in others. And the water slide is a good example of that. That little girl energized my confidence. When I saw how courageous and confident that she was going to make it to the end, I went. And it can work with God's promises to us as well. It can work as we look at God's Word and we trust in what we read here. Our confidence in God's Word can energize the confidence of others in God's Word. My daughter paid me perhaps one of the greatest compliments that I have ever received. She said to me one Sunday, she said, "Dad, I love to hear you preach." And I thought, wow, that is incredible that she would say that. But she didn't stop there. She then told me why. She said, "Because you teach like you really believe what you're teaching." Now, at this point, the skeptic is thinking, does she think I don't and I just act like I do? All right. But then she explained that she could sense my confidence in God's Word. And I got to tell you, that touched my heart. That touched my heart. Well, in our passage, Isaac, Abraham's son, exemplified faithful confidence in God's Word as well. In fact, let's read verse 20 again. It says, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Now, we have a really, really simple passage of Scripture here. But by implication, this very short verse teaches us two things about Isaac's confidence. Number one is he had confidence in God's will. He had confidence in God's will. You see, sometimes we have different ideas about things than God does. We have different ideas about the way things should be than God does sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we even allow history, the past, to dictate our future. And here's what I mean by that. Lord, it's always been this way. You can't change it now. It's always been this way. You can't change it. Or Lord, I've never been able to do that. You can't ask me to do that now. Well, if you remember the story of Isaac, and how in his old age he went to give his blessings to his children, Esau and Jacob, and he ended up giving his blessings, meaning to give the greater blessing to Esau, the older, and ended up being deceived and gave it to Jacob instead. And Isaac got angry over it because it's tradition. It is tradition to give the older son the greater blessing. And here, he'd been deceived into giving it to the younger son, Jacob. Well, the author of Hebrews mentions none of that. He doesn't talk about any of that. That's not his focus. He simply says that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Well, where is Isaac's faith in that story? Well, long before Isaac ever gave his blessings to Esau and Jacob, God told him that Jacob would be the greater. This was God's design initially. Jacob would be the greater. He would get the greater inheritance, the greater portion. Okay? Well, after the incident of being deceived, ultimately Jacob came back and gave the blessing again. Or excuse me, Isaac gave the blessing, and this time he gave it the way God wanted it given, the greater portion to Jacob. He agreed with God's will, is what I'm saying, and that's where faith comes in. And if you will notice, who is listed first in verse 20? Jacob, the younger, okay? So, in spite of how things had always been traditionally, in spite of how Isaac thought things should be, he ultimately had confidence in God's will and reiterated the fact that Jacob received the greater blessing. So he had confidence in God's will and he had confidence in the future. It says, things to come. He had confidence in everything that God had promised. Now, especially for those of you that were here last week, can you think of anything in Isaac's life that would cause him to have complete confidence in God's promises? From being sacrificed, absolutely. God promised that Isaac and his descendants would become a great nation. And the next thing you know, Isaac is strapped down to the altar, about ready to be killed as a sacrifice. But God stopped it. He stopped it because of his promise. And it was these very promises that Isaac is now passing down to Jacob and Esau. Isaac, I believe, had incredible confidence in God. In fact, confidence is really a definition of faith. Confidence is a definition of faith. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Confidence is energizing. It can energize the faith of those who are watching us. And our next example of faith is proof that confidence is energizing, because it is indeed Jacob. The second quality from our passage that can energize faith in those around us is consistency. And I'm not talking about the makeup of something, what it consists of, but rather consistency in doing something. Consistency in our faith in God. Consistency can be a very, very important thing. My son Andrew, he's married, now lives up in southern Utah. But he was 2 years old, 2 years old when Janine and I trusted Christ for salvation. And I'll admit to you now, early in our Christian lives, Janine and I would skip church from time to time. Can you believe it? Anyway, we would skip church from time to time. But by the time our daughter, Amanda, was born, about 4 years later, we had been going to church consistently. We got hungrier and hungrier the more we learned. In fact, if there was an opportunity to be at church and not only learn about God, to learn about ourselves, but grow in our relationship with God, we were there. That's how things were when Amanda was born, 4 years later. Now, until Andrew was 14 years old, 10 years after Amanda was born, he would rarely, but he would still ask us on occasion, "Are we going to church tomorrow?" Can you believe that? For 10 years, we'd been going consistently. Amanda has never asked that question, ever. And the only difference was Amanda had never seen our inconsistency, but Andrew, at 2 years old, at 4 years old, did. He saw it. And like I said, he didn't ask it often, but on occasion, he would still ask that. Consistency can be a very important thing. Well, Jacob exemplified consistency, and verse 21 shows us his consistency in two areas. Let's read verse 21. It says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff." Now, two ways, and one of them the author definitely has in mind. The other, I don't believe the author has in mind, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Okay? Here's the first way, and this is not where I think the author's thrust is. But it, by implication, it played a part, okay? Jacob was consistent in his love for Joseph. Jacob was consistent in his love for Joseph. Again, this is not the area that I believe the author of Hebrews is focusing on, but there is no doubt that Jacob consistently loved and even favored Joseph. In fact, it was the favoritism of Joseph that eventually led to the sustaining of Jacob's whole family. It led to the faith of Joseph. It led to God being greatly glorified through Joseph. And that consistency led to Jacob now giving Joseph a double portion of the inheritance through blessing his two sons. All right? Jacob was consistent in his love for Joseph. You can read the whole story in Genesis chapters 37 through 51. But the consistency I believe the author is focusing on here is Jacob was consistent in his worship of God. He was consistent in his worship of God. Now, just like you and I, and just like every other person in this Hebrews 11 list, Jacob was not perfect. Jacob had moments and even traits in his life that were sinful. He did many things that were not God glorifying. But one thing that the author is pointing out here is that even as he was dying, even as he was favoring Joseph, even as he was old and needed a staff to lean on, he worshiped God. He worshiped God. And I am guessing that that played a part in Joseph's life. And we're going to talk about Joseph in just a minute. But just to follow that legacy through for a minute, I am guessing that when Joseph was young, he saw that consistency in his father. And in turn, Joseph remained consistent in his faith. For it was his consistent faith in God that carried him through being rejected by his brothers. It carried him through temptation. It carried him through false accusations. It carried him through false imprisonment. It carried him through his work ethic. It carried him through his responsibilities. It carried him through his leadership. It carried him to forgiveness. It carried him to reconciliation with his family. Consistency in faith forced Joseph to look beyond the situation, get over his gripes that he may have had with his family, and welcome them back. Forgiveness, reconciliation. It forced him to look beyond past hurts, and it consistently brought him to seek God. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, worshiped God leaning on his staff. Consistency in worship left a legacy. It is energizing. In fact, consistency is a definition of faithfulness. And that faithfulness carried over to Joseph, who demonstrates our next quality, and that is concern. Concern. Concern can energize others to be concerned. Imagine you're walking down the sidewalk in your neighborhood. Maybe you went to get the mail. And as you're walking back home, all of a sudden, a propane truck comes to a screeching halt right next to you in the street. And the driver jumps out of the propane truck, shouts at you, "Run for your life!" And he books it down the street. What would you do? Run. There's actually a joke that goes along those lines, okay? But yeah, you would. His concern energized your concern, didn't it? Concern can energize others. Now, there are a bunch of qualities that we could look at in Joseph. But the author of Hebrews focuses on his concern for others so to energize them. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. What was Joseph concerned about? Well, first of all, he was concerned about his descendants staying in Egypt. As his family came to Egypt, because there was a great famine in the land, as they stayed there because Joseph had become second in charge in Egypt, in his dying days, Joseph, knowing God's promise concerning the land of Canaan, looked to the future, looked to a time when they would depart and go back home. What might his concern be for them staying in Egypt? Well, for one thing, that wasn't the promised land. That wasn't where they were supposed to be. But maybe if they stayed long enough, they would get comfortable there. Maybe after Joseph was dead, a new Pharaoh might rise to power and who did not know Joseph, and he might oppress the Israelites, maybe even enslave them. And while I have no idea whether Joseph had those kind of thoughts or not, there is no doubt he was concerned about his descendants staying in Egypt. And therefore, he was concerned about his descendants going back to Canaan. And in order to energize that move, he gave instructions that he wanted his bones buried in the promised land. Years ago, as I used to set up business sales-type meetings with prospective clients, and one of the tactics that I would use to increase the likelihood that clients would actually come to the meeting, I would ask them on the phone as I invited them to bring something that was critical for the meeting. I would ask them, do you have a road atlas? And if they said yes, I would say, okay, bring that road atlas. We are going to need that at the meeting. And we really, really did, just in case you're wondering. But now they had a responsibility. Now they were obligated to come because they were in charge of bringing something. Just in case you Israelites get comfortable in Egypt, just in case you consider not going back to Canaan, I want my bones buried there. And you're responsible for bringing them. Okay? You are now obligated to go back home. Joseph was concerned for the future of his children, his descendants. And this concern not only exemplified his faith in God's promise of a homeland, but it energized the concern in others. Now, it took a long time. A long time before another Hebrew recognized that concern. The Israelites did stay in Egypt. They did get comfortable. Another Pharaoh did come into power who did not know Joseph. And they ended up getting enslaved and oppressed. And the person who became concerned is the focus of the next seven verses here in Hebrews 11. Moses. And here is what Moses did. And I just want to read to you from Exodus chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. It says, "And the children of Israel, by leadership of Moses, went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt." And it says, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him." It worked. Concern energizes concern. You see, our concern for the future of others not only demonstrates our faith in God, but it energizes faith in others. And if we are not concerned that the soul of an unsaved friend will end up in hell for eternity, it is probable that they will not be concerned about that either. If we are not concerned that our brothers and sisters in Christ grow in their faith, they may not be concerned about that either. If we are not concerned that our brother or sister is practicing sin, they may not be concerned about that either. If we are not concerned about serving others, others may not be concerned about that either. If we are not concerned about being an example of faith, those that are watching us may not be concerned about that either. In John chapter 13, Jesus said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." He goes on to say, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also love one another." Concern energizes concern. Therefore, Isaac exemplified confidence. Jacob exemplified consistency. Joseph exemplified concern. And then lastly, the parents of Moses exemplified courage. They exemplified courage. Verse 23 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command." While not named here, Amram and Jochebed were the parents of Moses. And if you will remember the account, at the time that Moses was born, Pharaoh had ordered that all male Hebrew babies be thrown into the Nile River and drown. But because his parents saw that he was a beautiful child, they could not do it. They couldn't do it. Some translations say that he was no ordinary child, Moses, perhaps attempting to emphasize something special about him. And indeed, God did have some very, very special plans for Moses. But the actual wording in the original language says simply that they saw that he was beautiful, a fair, a handsome child. In other words, the parents of Moses saw their newborn baby in the same way that every other God-fearing parent sees their newborn baby. Okay? They're beautiful. Perhaps one of the most beautiful things we've ever set our eyes on. A little miracle, a gift from God. And we don't care what the king might do to us. There is no way that we are taking this precious little child and disposing of him like trash. That took courage. That took courage. They kept him hidden for 3 months. That took courage. They placed him into God's hands and his divine will by placing him after 3 months into a basket and setting him afloat down the river. And while there is no safer place in the world than in God's will, from a human perspective, that took courage. That took courage. They released him, I believe, providentially into the care of Pharaoh's daughter. That took faith, and that took courage. The parents of Moses had the courage to do what was right. Now, we don't know how many Hebrews obeyed the command of Pharaoh. Probably a lot. Perhaps all of them except Amram and Jochebed. But they didn't care what everybody else was doing. They didn't care about what had become acceptable. They had courage to do what is right. And the parents of Moses had the courage to dismiss what is wrong. Murder is wrong, and they knew it. They didn't care what the government had mandated. They didn't care if people had accepted it. They didn't care what the laws of the land said. If those laws were in conflict with God's laws, we are going with God. And they had the courage to dismiss what is wrong. I wonder how much the courage of Moses' parents energized his own courage when it came to leading the Israelites out of Egypt. I wonder how much the confidence of Isaac, the consistency of Jacob, the concern of Joseph energized the faith of Moses. For after all, Moses did take the bones of Joseph with him. And while we cannot pass our faith onto another, by exemplifying these qualities in our life, it can certainly energize that kind, those qualities in the life of another. Just over 100 years ago now, a study was done on the life and descendants of Jonathan Edwards and his wife Sarah. The study is about 100 years old, but they went all the way back to the 1700s and looked at all of the descendants of Jonathan Edwards and his wife. And for those of you that may not know, Jonathan Edwards was one of the great, in fact, one of the original preachers of the Great Awakening. And as he and his wife went into ministry and took a ministry at a small church and again became very influential in that Great Awakening, their 11 kids saw that. And while Jonathan and Sarah impacted a lot of lives through their ministry, it is very evident that they impacted their children and their children's children. And in this study that was done almost 100 years ago, they went and looked and listed out many of what these descendants became in this country. And here is what Jonathan and Sarah Edwards, this is part of their legacy. 100 lawyers and deans, and a dean of a law school. And I might add that back before 1900, law schools, colleges, universities, almost all of them were founded in Christian principles. In fact, a lot of law schools actually had seminaries as well. 100 lawyers, a dean of a law school, 80 holders of public office, 66 physicians and a dean of a medical school, 65 professors of colleges and universities, 30 judges, 13 college presidents, 3 mayors of large cities, 3 governors of states, 3 United States senators, 1 controller of United States Treasury, 1 vice president of the United States. That's the descendants of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. What an incredible legacy. And while that is an incredible legacy and certainly a tribute to the faith of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards, I doubt, in the eyes of Jonathan and Sarah, that any of these accomplishments would matter at all if they were apart or not accompanied by faith in God. The Apostle John said in 3 John 1:4, he said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." We have been given these 4 qualities of faith, not only to mature our own faith, but so that we can energize a faithful future in others as well. There's an old saying that says, if you want to know what people will say about you when you're gone, write your own epitaph now and live that way. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful just for this wonderful list of men and women who lived by faith in you. And Lord, it is incredible to look at these examples, to learn these qualities. And I pray that we would take these qualities to heart, to live them out in our life, so that we will grow spiritually. But even beyond that, so that those that are watching us, whether it be our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, will look at us and they will see these qualities that come from our life because we are trusting in you, and they will want it too, and it will even perhaps energize that kind of faith in their lives. Lord, we thank you for, this chapter here, and we have a few more Sundays, Lord, you willing, in here, but it really all culminates in one person, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for him in all this, because without him, none of this would be. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.